evening, everyone. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1 and be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. Proverbs chapter 1. We so far have been given in this chapter the purpose of this book is to provide wisdom for all the people in the world that needs wisdom and guidance, and that wisdom can only be rooted as its foundation in the fear of the Lord in verse 7. And then in verses 8 through 19, where we dealt with last week in two messages, we first thing out of the block before we even begin to unfold wisdom's call was the necessity and the importance of staying away from the wicked, staying away from the temptation and the allurement and the enticing of the wicked. Clearly, we see the father teaching in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't yield. Don't desire it. Don't go there." Then later on in verse 15, as they were trying to lure him in, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Stay away." Today, in two parts, we're going to finish the chapter, Lord willing, beginning in verse 20 to the end of the chapter. So follow along as I read. I'm going to read verse 20 all the way to the end of the chapter so we can get the context. "Wisdom calls out loud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. In the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her word. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whosoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. We come before you acknowledging our great need to be instructed, to be corrected, to be rebuked. Oh Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom, a hunger and thirst to know and understand you and your ways. You have said in your word that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, and that we need to have knowledge of the Holy One. The Lord, if we are to gain wisdom, it must come from you. If we are to desire wisdom, we must come to you for it. For you are the dispenser of true wisdom that's rooted in truth, reality, and righteousness. Father, we pray that as we hear the cry of wisdom, the calling of wisdom to each and every one of us this morning. It is in your word. And it is recorded in your word, but yet it's happening every day since the day we were born. And then often we have not heeded or listened or cared to respond. Oh Lord, help us to realize what happens when we do that. May in this passage we see with clarity and with conviction the necessity of heeding wisdom's calling. So Father, be with us. Help us, in Jesus' name, amen. Now in the bulletin, there wasn't enough room to put the full title, but in your outline, it is, Wisdom is Calling, Are You Listening? In the first point of our outline, it's the call of wisdom in verses 20 through 23. In the first two verses I call your attention to, it said, wisdom called out loud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses and at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her word. Wisdom is here, it being personified here. And it is standing in the public places where life happens, where people gather and interact and do business. Clearly we see here, this is where wisdom is calling, where day-to-day activities happen and touches every area of life. Wisdom is calling to everyone. Wisdom is calling by exhorting and crying out with a sense of urgency and passion for them to listen, to heed, and to turn towards her. How is she doing that? Well, in these two verses, we hear calling out loud, raising her voice, crying out, and speaking her words. Wisdom is available to everyone. Wisdom is not hiding. It's not meant for simply the brainiacs in some high intellectual tower where they can just be with their books and sharpen, iron sharpens iron with others of like mind. This is for every single one of us. And wisdom is available wherever we go. If we are looking, if we are praying, if we are pleading and longing for real wisdom. Wisdom, again, is not hiding. It is constantly threatening and available to everyone. Wisdom is not silent. It is not quiet nor whispering. She is making herself heard and known everywhere, to everyone. We have no excuse to say, well, I didn't know. The question is, were you seeking? Were you looking? Were you longing for this wisdom? Even James said in chapter 1, anyone who lacks wisdom, ask God who gives to everyone liberally without reproaching. So it's important that we understand that wisdom is not only calling. Where is it calling? Notice again in these verses you'll see the places, public places where common people go, outside, open square, chief concourse, gate in the city. Now, that's kind of different with that, but in a sense, it was everything here from the marketplace to where all the business and legal transactions were taken care of by the leaders of the community at the gates. The interaction of people and comrades and wherever you find things happening, excuse me, wisdom is calling. Calling to everyone, everywhere. Later on in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, it says it this way. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand at the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cried out by the gate, at the entry of the city, and at the entrance of the door, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple one, understand prudence, and you fool, be of an understanding heart. This is wisdom crying out. This is God saying, I am speaking and challenging you and asking you to take my path and go down my way. And he calls it here in wisdom, understanding, discernment, taking the right path with right thinking and applying good knowledge, wholesome knowledge, right knowledge to life, a defined wisdom with taking knowledge and applying it to life for the good of man, for the glory of God. Worldly wisdom basically takes information, applies it for self. It's all about me. That is not true of those who truly seek wisdom that comes down from above. Clearly, here the grace of God on display. Wisdom does not wait for us to come to her. She goes to them into the public places. Wisdom is everywhere. Isn't it great to know that you might drip a little bit in the Lord? You'll struggle and you'll come to a crisis in your life. And it seems like you've had enough. I can't go anymore. I can't go any farther. What do? Usually right then and there you pray. Because you know God hears prayer. Especially when we humble ourselves and confess our sin. Wisdom is very much the same way. It's everywhere to be heard. The question is, as the title said, are you listening? Are you listening? Commentator by the name of Aiken said this, wisdom is no gentle persuader. She shouts, pleads, scolds, reasons, threatens, warns, and even laughs. Clearly, wisdom is calling. Look at verse 22 now with me. Now he said these words, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Notice the first word, the question. How long? How long? This question should have prompted a heart search. The searching of one's heart. Here, wisdom is crying out, how long am I going to cry out to you? How long am I going to be everywhere and you're constantly going to ignore me and dismiss me and say no to me and you'd go along your merrily way content knowing that it's leading to judgment? How long? This showed wisdom had been exhorting for a long time, even including when they were instructed in the home. Please understand, we already learned earlier in this chapter that wisdom, given the parents are godly and Christians and live for the Lord, they are trying to impart wisdom to their children from early on. You can already begin in your own home to harden and resist and reject and ignore the wisdom that your very own parents have been prayerfully trying to counsel you with. This includes that. You may have been constantly crying out to you, whether at home or out after you got on your own. Said this, there's three groups of people here, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. And we know from our study of the four fools in the book of Proverbs, what we have here is the naive one. And the scorner, you got the beginning stage, the naive one is simply ignorant. The scorner now had very determined in their position. They're convinced that those who are upright and take the upright path are wrong, and they scorn and mock, and they're trying to evangelize you to their position. Now, the fool here is the one that is known as the silly fool or the dull and arrogant fool. This is the one who is spoken of the most often in the book of Proverbs. 70 out of the 90 times in the Old Testament, this word is used for that particular person. So in essence, he is saying from the simple to the scorner and everybody in between. He's saying the word, how long will you ignore my call? How long will you do this? The simple and the naive one are content to remain uncommitted and remain naive and gullible and not choose the way of wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Let's remember, by way of review, there are four fools. The first one is the naive or the simple one. This person hasn't made a decision yet. They're uncommitted and undecided. They are in the position they're in because they lack experience. They are ignorant. They just don't know. And even wisdom is calling out to the simple one, come. Because if you remain in this simplicity, if you remain in this naiveness and being gullible, you are going to bear the fruit of the rest of the fool. You need to get committed. The other three fools were already committed. They've already rejected, ignored, some to differing degrees. The naive one right here, which is interesting. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, it says this. Wisdom is calling out to the simple one and said this. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacked understanding, she said to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now, I want you to notice something. In that verse, it said the simple turn here, and the problem that this person had is they lack understanding. They're not one of the ones that reject wisdom, reject understanding. This person lacked it. It just had, they haven't gotten enough information yet. So the simple person, we learn, is a person where we can have hope to feed them truth and wisdom and knowledge of God. So the idea here is the simple person lacks understanding, where the other three fools reject, despise, or hate it. So there are hope for the naive one. But the scorner, on the other hand, is the defiant one. They are in your face trying to make you uncomfortable in your position as an upright person. It said here clearly that they delight in their scorning. It speaks to the fact that they take pleasure. They have a strong craving to mock the upright in heart. The word scorning means to mock and ridicule God, wisdom, righteousness, the upright. Then you got the fool. The fool I defined when I did the four fools was the silly fool, which is also the person who is dull and arrogant, spiritually speaking. They are the ones who make the sport out of sin. They are the one who, it said in verse 7, this is the Hebrew word for the word fool in verse 7, where it said, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of knowledge, but fools, or this silly fool, or this dull and arrogant fool, despises wisdom and instruction. So what we have here, they have rejected outright wisdom's calling. Not only rejected, hated. Hate it. That knowledge that leads to wisdom. All three are satisfied with their current ways and do not listen or heed wisdom's call. This is everyone who refuses to listen, beginning from the simple to the scorner and everybody in between. All three are uncommitted fools, are lumped together, and in the end they all will face the punishment of fools. This is not a, you know, hey, you know, pick or leave it. You pick it, you know, behind door number 1, 2, or 3. You know, it doesn't matter, whatever. No, you ignore wisdom. It is to the peril of your life and soul. You disregard the fear of God and His ways and walking in it. It is to your peril, both in this life and the next life. This is important to understand. They remain uncommitted and unresponsive to the call. That's why it was, how long? How long? So fundamentally, by now, we should understand that every one of you individually must decide whether you are to be wise or remain a fool. That default position when you're born into this world until you make that decisive act to follow the path of wisdom and the fear of the Lord is folly, foolishness, sin. Scripture teaches that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive him away from it. Verse 23. Here in verse 23, we have wisdom's final and last call. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Here, wisdom makes its final offer. Turn at my rebuke. Boy, one, these words imply hope. There's still hope. But notice the wording. When we talk about wisdom's calling, and we talk about what I just said about the default position of every person born into this world as a sinner is the life of foolishness and folly, we must understand when wisdom calls, and throughout Proverbs, again and again, the word instruction, correction, rebuke is repeated again and again with you're on the wrong path, you're thinking the wrong thing, you're doing it wrong, therefore you need to be rebuked and to change your course of action. That's what we have here. Turn at my rebuke. It doesn't say, turn at my sweet little pleading. I'm confronting you with you're on the wrong path and you're going to pay a price if you stay on it. So I'm calling you to myself so I can put you on the right path. The fear of the Lord. Rebuke is not a friendly word. It's a word that means to reprimand, to be told you're wrong, in the need of correction. Boy, we live in a society that just won't tolerate that kind of dogmatism. They just won't accept right and wrong. And they want to say that truth is relative and I have my truth and you have your truth. Hogwash. The Bible is true and it is the standard of right and wrong. Wisdom will always tell you what's right versus what's wrong. All throughout Proverbs, you're going to have the contrast between the wise person does this and the fool does this. In whatever area he's addressing in the time. Nobody likes to be corrected. But that does not negate that we more often than not need to be corrected. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproof of instructions are the way of life. So one of the things you're going to find out when you decide to follow the path of wisdom, you're going to find out that you're going to be constantly reminded that you're off the path here and there and other areas. It's the way of life. But praise God that you are being corrected. God had revealed it to you and you can recalibrate and readjust to get on the right path. That's why Proverbs said the righteous will fall 7 times to get back up. Carry on. The folly, the fool, the simpleton, the scorner, not so. They hate and despise it. Their fall is coming later, and great will be that fall. Proverbs 10, verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. The question is, are you teachable? Do you have a hard time taking correction? Do you have a hard time being rebuked when the person who's rebuking you is right? Are you allowing pride to get in the way? Stubbornness? My way, not his way? Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loved instruction loved knowledge, but he who hates correction, this is God's word, is stupid. Again, look at the verse. Turn at my rebuke. The word turn is the Old Testament Hebrew word equivalent to the New Testament word repentance. It is to turn from one thing toward something else, or to be more precise, to turn from evil and unto good. In the context of our passage, in our context of the book of Proverbs, turn away from folly and turn to wisdom, to the fear of the Lord. That word clearly, this word is the idea to say no to the one and yet to the other. It's a 180 degree change. When a person does humble themselves and repent of their folly, God gives them two promises in this verse. Again, verse 23. Turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit. I will make my word known to you. Promise number one is not specifically his spirit in reference to the Holy Spirit, but the idea of the spirit of wisdom. The word first I want to pour out, the phrase pour out, means I'm not going to give it to you singly, like James 1:5. I will give it liberally, abundantly. I will give it. The word aptly means I am going to saturate you with this spirit. I am going to drench you, soak you with this. The spirit that he's talking about is not the Holy Spirit, but in line with Isaiah 11, verse 2. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Here we clearly see that the Lord will give a spirit of wisdom and understanding and discernment to those who will turn at his reproof, who will turn if they know to that past life and yet to the new one. I will make my word known to you. I love what Colossians, if we remember when we did Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to add that you may be filled with the knowledge of its will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a beautiful way to say what he is saying here in verse 23. I want and pray and long that you would have spiritual wisdom and understanding to the point where when it fleshes out in your life, you are walking worthy and pleasing to the Lord. Is that not what Proverbs is all about? Living a life of righteousness and godliness. It's not simply a book of wisdom talking about, you know, cognitive thinking, philosophical wranglings. It is wisdom taking knowledge and applying it to life for the glory of God. Oh. Back to Proverbs 8:34 and 5 said this, blessed is the man who listened to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So, wisdom is calling. Are you listening? Are you doing what you are supposed to do? Are you turning at the rebuke? Point number two, refusing wisdom's call in verse 24 and 5. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Time had been given, plenty of time, and yet the stubborn refusal to heed wisdom call continued and had set in, saying, no, don't need it, not my way, not interested. Something right here after that final initial call, that final initial offer, something drastic had happened. Here, there is grave danger in rejecting wisdom's invitation. This invitation had been extended for a long time by the phrase, "How long?" I have called. I have stretched out my hand. I have given you my counsel. I have given you my rebuke again and again, over and over. And you still ignore, shun, and refuse and reject. Even the words here, that wisdom is continually calling out. It is being continually rejected. You can see it in it by the end, in the phrase, "You have refused. You did not regard it. You disdain all my counsel. You would not heed any of my correction." Again and again and again and again. Every time we say no, when wisdom calls, we are hardening our heart to the truth of wisdom. No one is ever justified in rejecting wisdom and the fear of the Lord. I don't care what your excuse is. I don't care what had happened in your life. No one had the right to say no to wisdom because that's foolish. That's what fools do. No, God. Don't want it. And how often do we who profess Christ, or even some in this room who may not profess Christ, you already may be in a very perilous situation right now. You have rejected your entire life and never tasted grace yet. But to Christians, the exhortation is to you. How many times had God maybe has spoken to you about an area in your life and you keep saying, "No, no, no." There is coming a time when the door is going to close and you're on your own with the fruit of your way. What we have here is nothing more than willful stubbornness with no regard for her invitation. The word "refuse" means to utterly reject it. Not even "I'll think about it." Just total dismissal. Don't want it. Now, they may not do it in the gesture I'm showing you, but they're doing it right here in their heart. It happens in a pew when preaching of God's word comes and the truth comes. You will make a decision to embrace it or no. Right here. And nobody knows but you and God. The word "no regard" means you won't even give attention. Here's the idea: that I reach out my hand to you. You ever had your hand go out to shake somebody's hand and they didn't even acknowledge it? You kind of feel embarrassed, or like, at best, you hope they didn't see it. I hope they didn't outright reject me. But God's hand is obviously clear to all, and they did not regard it. Not interested in your offer. That is what happens when you say no to wisdom, to the truth, to the gospel, to God. Even go so far as to say, "You have disdained my counsel." The word "disdain" means to ignore, to avoid it, not even worthy of attention or acknowledgement. Whatever. It's the serious business to reject the truth and offer of wisdom's call. This is the picture of one blindly marching toward the cliff, yet determinedly refusing all offers to help them turn back from their impending doom. But I don't see it. Just because you don't see the judgment that's awaiting and coming doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That's part of wisdom's call. You live by faith and trust in wisdom, or you're leaning on your own understanding. Your own ways. So what we have here is wisdom extending their hand to give wisdom for a long time and being rejected or neglected during the entire time. When the foolish ways of fools catch up to them, the consequences are quick, sudden, and devastating. Point number 3, verse 26 and 7. that is the fruit of rejecting wisdom. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock at your when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. When anyone refuses to follow the right path, they will always suffer for their rejecting because we live in a moral universe created by a God who is infinitely holy, righteous, and just. This is not a morally neutral world or universe. You and I cannot succeed in this life, in His universe, and disdain His counsel, wisdom, and correction, because there will be consequences. Good ones when you yield and heed and listen, and woes, cursing, devastation when you don't. Here it speaks of the storm and the whirlwind, the idea of probably a tornado. When the storm and whirlwind come, when the calamity, terror, and destruction come, at that time, when it hit them, too late. Too late to cry out. Too late. The word calamity slash destruction here, you have both, they're the same exact Hebrew word. They mean it as a disaster that kind of sudden, came out of nowhere. The idea that it brings great loss, great damage, and great destruction. It can be to physical things, to your life, everything you work for, to your life, or spiritual. The word terror is another word for fear and being afraid or being overwhelmed with fear. You have been hit all of a sudden out of nowhere. I didn't plan for this. I didn't see this coming. Nor did I want it. Like Job said, the thing I had feared the most had come upon me. Job lost everything. But Job lived an entirely different thing. It wasn't due to his sin. We already dealt with Job, so no use going over Job again. But Proverbs teaches about wisdom. And the word anguish means to be under deep stress and pressure due to circumstances and crises in your life. God said when that storm and whirlwind hit, and when your terror and distress and anguish and calamity comes, I will laugh and mock at you. Notice what he said. Look at verse 26 again. I also will laugh. What does he mean? He's saying that when wisdom called, when I called, they laugh and mock at it. So God is saying when their time comes and the consequences hit them, I also will laugh. And mock when all that comes upon you. Now at first, your first inclination, depends on your concept of God, it appeared to be heartless. But this verse rather described the retributive justice of God, who himself had been mocked by sinners and fools. Let's not forget Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. Eric Lane said it this way, quote, you did not take his warning seriously, and he will appear not to take your woes seriously. This does not mean God is callous, but simply showed the absurdity of choosing folly when wisdom was offered. End quote. He also brought up a very, very good observation that I wanted to share. Quote, this is why the scriptures of the Old and New Testament alike impress on us that childhood and youth are the best time to learn God's ways and choose it. It is the time of uncluttered mind and an avid quest for knowledge. The time when trud comes readily and what it learned, train and mold character for life. But if the pliable mind and heart of the young harden at this point, it is a rare thing for it to soften later. Rare, yet not impossible, since none is too hard for the Lord. No one is past praying for. But God is not to be trifled with by the young or the old. End quote. It's serious business when you mock and laugh at God and disdain His ways. Clearly, for God to laugh and mock does not mean He thinks it's funny, but He does think it is an awful tragedy to reject wisdom's call. For God to laugh at right and just because He celebrates the triumph of right over wrong, He will scoff at the folly of fools. We saw that clear back in Psalm chapter 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing and plot a war against me? And He said these words in Psalm 2, verse 4 and 5, He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. That's the word for mockery. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. This is the sad reality of a lost opportunity, and they have no one to blame but themselves. It is their fault, self-inflicted. All because they said, no, not interested. Don't want your wisdom. I want my way. I want my, what I want to do. When wisdom was calling, it was to retrieve them from the wrong path that they were on. Walkie said it this way, quote, wisdom's message in a nutshell is repent now because the time of judgment, at the time of judgment, there will be no second chance. That's why He said, I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, I will laugh. Did that not remind you of Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when our Lord talked about, note the pride, about the wise man who built his house upon a rock and a foolish man who built his house on the sand? What made the difference of the wise man and the foolish man? Clearly the words here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man. Hear and do. The other one, verse 26, but anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I liken him to be the foolish man. They both heard the same call. The same thing. One heard it and heeded it. The other one heard it and dismissed it. No surprise, what's the story? Their houses are built. We know houses don't happen like that. I'll let you order it online and get it the next day. But when we're building it, it takes time. It takes time. A lifelong time to build a life. Then the storm comes. Then you're going to find out what kind of metal you're made of. The wise man built his house on the rock. The oil will stand. The man who built his house in the sand, it will give away. And the text said, and great was its fall. The contrast was both back and forth, no different than Proverbs. You got the wise man, you got the foolish man. Built his house on the rock, the sand. Heard and obey, heard and didn't. Stood, fell. Oh, beloved, may we heed wisdom's call. You know what's sad? Foolish ones are always clueless as to why their life falls apart later in life. They don't realize there are myriad of hundreds and thousands of decisions to say no to wisdom brought them to this point. Every time you make a decision, you're at a why. When you're on this one, you're getting farther and farther away than the original choice to fear the Lord. They have long forgotten that years ago in their heart they have rejected and dismissed it and was indifferent to truth, wisdom, and the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 29, verse 1 had the scary thought. He who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. There is always a point when God says enough is enough. Point of no return. When you cross it, I'm done with you. Nobody knows where it's at. That's why we should always heed his voice today. His voice is calling. We should always understand that every time we spurn or dismiss God's wisdom and truth, we are in essence saying to God, no thank you, whatever, my way is better, don't want your way, I want my way. Throughout Scripture, the Bible talked about people who want to suppress the truth or exchange the truth for a lie, who do not want to retain God in their knowledge, do not want the knowledge of God, who do not want his ways. All along, they're hardening their heart and resisting his calling. Even Job chapter 21, verse 14, yet they say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light had come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It is a serious thing to reject and ignore wisdom's call. Let me close with some encouraging words. Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3, and then 6 and 7. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat, yet come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen, why do you spend money for that what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Here is the junction between wisdom's call and folly's call. God is calling, come. There's no call, come. Embrace it. Why do you choose this way that doesn't satisfy? That's not real nourishing bread. So he said, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you and the sure mercy of David. Verse 7, listen carefully. Excuse me, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Though the only answer for the wicked, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord. The word return and turn is usually the same Hebrew word throughout the Old Testament that we get the word repentance in the New. Return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'll say it again. Wisdom has been calling from the day you were born. Are you listening? Come. Let him have his way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the clarion call. This call is loud and clear. Oh God, may we not have a fool in our midst. May everyone respond to the call in a way that is honoring to you, or using Isaiah's word, that satisfy, that truly bring healing and change. and transformation. Father, we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.